The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Good evening, Long Island, New York, and all points beyond. This is Jason Nazario coming to you live, directed, in full effect here at the studios right outside of New York City in the media capital of the world here at WGBB. Sports Talk, 1240 AM radio, as we deliver you another program here over the course of the next about 56, 57 minutes here, as I have my man Brian Graves on the other side of the glass help me out tonight. Big props to Rob Cowell for also assisting and bringing me on air to deliver the latest and greatest of the world of sports here on a Sunday, May 24th, on Memorial Day weekend, as we like to express our thoughts and feelings for all the servicemen out there who protect our country, fight for our freedom. Thank you twice more than once, and that's still not enough. But with that being said, we got some sports talk to get to. Obviously, lots going on here in the month of May, a great sports month. Last time I was here was on Easter Sunday, right on the eve of the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs. Obviously, the baseball season was just getting kicked off. But with all that going on, we are going to start off with the NHL, and we have a Game 5 that's taking place at Madison Square Garden between the Rangers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Right now, no score after one. We'll monitor that as we go, streaming it live on the NBC Sports app, which is amazing to think, the technology that we have. So we'll check that out. I know the Yankees are playing tonight at the stadium. We'll get into all the baseball. Mets lost weekend in Pittsburgh. Disgrace for the Mets this weekend. The performance was awful. We'll get into everything else that's going on, NBA playoffs. You got the Cavs and Hawks in a Game 3 in Cleveland. No Kyrie Irving. We'll talk about Golden State's dominance. We'll even get into a little Belmont Stakes, which is 2 weeks from yesterday. History in the making, quite possibly, with American Pharoah. We'll get into some NFL stuff. We'll even get into a little Indy 500, believe it or not. Nah, I'm not going to spend too much time on that, but just to kind of recollect how the Indy 500 was once the premier, you know, racing event, other than horsing, the premier car racing event. And meanwhile, it's far from it in the day and age of the NASCAR and Daytona 500 and things of that nature. It certainly gets taken off the map. But with all that being said, let's start off with some NHL hockey. And the Rangers, who had dodged the bullet in the previous round against the Washington Capitals, down 3-1, a minute and 42 seconds away from having an early summer. They saved their season on that Kreider goal. They won a big Game 6 in Washington, and then obviously winning a Game 7 at home to come to this series against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And a lot of people thought that this was a series that the Rangers would pretty much be able to neutralize the Tampa Bay Lightning offense. As you saw in Game 1, they certainly did that. Range away, defense, late goal there, 2-1. Typical Ranger formula for this postseason, winning either in overtime or late in the game, one goal fashion. In fact, what did they play? 14 straight games that were decided by one goal. And they went into a Game 2 thinking that if they could somehow, some way, get themselves up 2-0, get a little cushion going down to Tampa, they certainly would have been in the driver's seat for probably a short series. But as you know, the Rangers' history in these Game 2s, especially over the last 3-4 years, have they made deep playoff runs, it was for naught because Henrik Lundqvist finally came back down to earth, gave up 6 goals, defense was nowhere to be found, sloppy play all over the place. Tampa was just scoring at will. So they went back to Tampa, even at 1. Game number 3 in Tampa, topsy-turvy type game. Rangers had a 2-0 lead. Tampa only comes back to take a 4-2 lead. Rangers then tie it. Next thing you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning, with 5 minutes to go, take a 5-4 lead. You're thinking, oh, geez, can the Rangers whip up some magic here to try to push it into overtime? Sure enough, they do. Dan Boyle gets a goal with about 2 minutes remaining, goes into overtime, and then that triplets line has just been dominant in this postseason for the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, Tyler Johnson, the 5'9", kind of the Martin St. Louis light, so to speak, but shoots from the right side between him, the Kucherov, and also Andre Palat. That key line that's pretty much garnered all their offense for the most part here in this postseason certainly proved to be the game winner there in a game number 3. And then the Ranger fans, you had to pull them off the ledge because all they could think about was, well, hey, maybe we need to pull Henrik Lundqvist considering he gave 6 goals in back-to-back games. Let's put in Cam Talbot. Now, there's no way, shape, or form, and I am far from a Ranger fan, no way, shape, or form that you're going to take out number 30. He has brought you to this point. He is the face of the franchise. He is the guy that certainly had led you to the promised land last year, although they didn't win it, but took you to a cup final. And then this year, coming back from 3-1 to beat Washington and then to bring you to this point, there's no way you're going to put him on the bench. So what happens? All that talk, shut it down. Two nights ago in Tampa, 5-1, Rick Nash finally wakes up, scores a couple of goals. Martin St. Louis has had an awful postseason, obviously 40 years of age, getting long in the tooth, and pretty much his best days behind him, was able to capitalize on a power play goal there in the third period. And the next thing you know, the Rangers had a rocking chair, which is news, beyond news, if you could ever hear, if you're a Ranger fan. 5-1, and now they're back at the Garden. Second period has begun. No score. And, of course, my streaming is now slowed down, so we'll keep an eye on this throughout the course of the next hour. I'm sure we'll get the second period in before we bid adieu. But the Rangers here, certainly in the driver's seat now. They have the home ice back. You would think that they should be able to win this series. Chances are they're going to do it the Ranger way in seven and probably in an overtime fashion. But you would think that getting their sea legs under that tough loss there, game three, having that five-goal outburst in a game four to propel them to where they are right now, you would think the Rangers, barring something crazy, and we all know in the NHL playoffs, not only anything can happen, but anything can happen in the drop of a hat. That's just how the NHL playoffs are. And even think back at the end of game four, I know the game got chippy there at the end. I don't know if there's been any carryover tonight. Who knows as far as penalties are concerned, but please, you want to talk about chippy play. I know there were a ton of misconducts and roughing, but please, if this was 30 years ago, both of the benches would have been cleared, and next thing you know, you would have had some black eyes and some tough. As a matter of fact, I just watched now as Henrik Lundqvist just stoned Steven Stamkos on a point-blank shot. Actually, it was a poor defensive play there. I can't get the number, but gave it up in their zone, and then Stamkos trying to go top shelf, but glove save there by Lundqvist, which certainly just blew I don't even know who that was on the fence. Was that McDonough who made that play? But anyway, great save by Lundqvist, who, again, could you have this man on the bench if you're a Ranger fan? No way. But as I was saying, as far as the toughness in the game, the way that game ended the other day, I don't think there'd be any carryover. This isn't 1985 where benches were clear, that teams would send the message. Those days are long gone, and sadly so, because which was once a man's sport certainly is far from that. And it's a shame that you can't use physical tactics. You know, you can't use intimidation as you once did many years ago to kind of send that message to a game five, despite the fact that the game is going to be played up here. But you would think Tampa, you know, pushing and shoving certainly isn't going to cut it in my book. And obviously, for those who love fighting and for those who love toughness in the game, certainly those are years gone by. But I digress. We'll certainly keep an eye on this game here as we move along, as there's 17:25 to go now. I'm sure being streamed is going to be a couple minutes behind, and of course being on the radio, so who knows. Well, I know that Rangers probably had scored, or the Tampa's probably scored, so if I'm a couple minutes behind or a few seconds behind, that's the world of streaming. And I think the Rangers, I don't know if Dominic Moore is going to be taken to the penalty box. I know Ryan Callahan is down on the ice. They're going to see if whether or not this was a an offense that may put Dominic Moore in a penalty box. We'll certainly see. And we'll continue right along. Looks like that's not going to be the case, although there was a high stick there moments ago. So, Rangers, you would think, again, should be in line to get back to another cup, back-to-back years. In the other series, you got a wild one there with the Chicago Blackhawks and Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Blackhawks, who have won games 2 and 4 in dramatic fashion, winning in 3 overtimes in game 2, and then last night 2 overtimes to take the series back to Anaheim. And all I could say is this. I haven't really followed that series closely, but that's going to be another toss-up. Chicago, as we know, they could play with a lot of speed, have a lot of skill, a lot of talent. You would think, no penalty, by the way, on that high stick. So 5-on-5 continues. You would think that in this postseason, when you look at Anaheim, and of course they have their key guys, Corey Perry, Ryan Getzlaf et al., and the goaltending, Frederick Anderson for Anaheim, Corey Crawford for Chicago, dicey. You would think the team that has maybe a little bit more experience and skill would probably take the series. But as you know, again, NHL playoffs, anything can happen. Look at last year. Chicago Blackhawks had a 3-2 series lead. And obviously it went to a Game 7 and they ended up losing at home against Chicago. Against L.A., who obviously went on to beat the Rangers in the Stanley Cup Final. So when you look at how these two series are going to unfold here, you would think they're probably going to both go 7. One of the two may head into overtime, and then you could have a matchup, which I'm sure Gary Bettman and company need to have the Rangers in there. They would love to have an original six final, Rangers-Blackhawks. If you have Rangers in Anaheim, not sexy. If Tampa gets there, certainly, definitely not sexy. If you have Tampa, Anaheim, that's probably the worst nightmare because you have two pretty much expansion teams, at least in this generation, that will be going up against one another for a Stanley Cup final. It's kind of like Anaheim-Ottawa 2007. You definitely don't want to have a cup like that. You know that the higher-ups there at NBC are praying, hoping for an original six Stanley Cup final. Blackhawks looking to try to win 3 Stanley Cups in 5 years. Rangers, of course, back-to-back Stanley Cup Finals, looking to win their first since 1994. And then even though in Anaheim and Tampa, as weird as that is, they both won Stanley Cups in the last 11 years. Anaheim aforementioned, and in Tampa back in 2004. But again, if you're the hockey fan, you definitely don't want to see Anaheim and Tampa. Anaheim Rangers, you could live with. Anaheim, Tampa, and Anaheim Rangers, or Tampa, I should say, in Chicago, definitely would be hard to stomach. But I would think, when all is said and done, I would think the Rangers, I'd be shocked if they don't win the series. I would like to see Rangers in Chicago, I think, personally. But if the Rangers are in the game, then NBC will do backflips. Or even if Chicago's there, but they definitely don't want Tampa. That's how I look at it. You can live with Anaheim, Rangers, Blackhawks, you can't live with the Lightning. I don't care what. The triplets, I understand, great season. You have the big goalie there, 6'7", Ben Bishop. But again, it's Tampa. So you certainly can't go ahead and, write your Stanley Cup ticket and think that, hey, I'm going to run to the set to watch Tampa playing the Stanley Cup Final. I mean, if you're a sports fan or a diehard hockey fan, you'd watch, but a casual sports fan is going to turn the sets off. That's all there is to it. So there you have it as far as the NHL is concerned, and we'll keep our eye on this here. Rangers are looking to try to capitalize on some scoring opportunities here. 15 minutes to go, second period, but no score at the Garden. Before I turn my attention over to the NBA, I figured I'd go to NBA, talk a little bit about that. Not only that, but also we'll get to all the baseball. We have plenty of time to get to that with a few other things to kind of put the cherry on top for the show. By the way, call-in number is 631-888-8811. Feel free to give me a holler as I'm talking here about the NHL playoffs. And the NHL playoffs on a whole, before I get to the NBA, the NHL playoffs right now, if you get 2 Game 7s here, it'd be fantastic. You've only had 3 Game 7s so far in the Stanley Cup final. In the Stanley Cup playoffs, You had Detroit and Tampa play in the first round of Game 7 where Tampa actually had to come back from 3-2. We all know the Islanders, who sadly couldn't extend that postseason at the Nassau Coliseum as they lost in 7 to the Capitals. And then the Rangers, as we said before, against the Capitals in 7 games. And here in this conference finals, you could probably get 2-7 games here, and which would be great. And that's the NHL. NHL usually comes out on top with these series, with these games, the overtime, thrill a minute. Definitely not the games of yesteryear, as I once said a few minutes ago, but at the same time, certainly exciting, edge of your seat, end-to-end, who's going to score, bounce here, deflection there. I mean, that's just how the NHL playoffs are. As far as the NBA playoffs are concerned, it is the exact opposite. The NBA playoffs have had 2 Game 7s, and they both involved the LA Clippers, one in the most thrilling fashion, and 2 in the most excruciating fashion you could ever have. Thrilling against the Spurs in round 1, and then that epic collapse against the Houston Rockets in the conference semifinals. I mean, the NBA playoffs have just been atrocious, and just look at the conference finals now. If Atlanta, who was leading earlier, toward the end of the first was 21-17, I'm sure right now it's somewhere in the second period. But when you assess this NBA postseason, it has just been an out and out disaster. The games have not been competitive. I know you can look at the two game sevens with the Clippers. That's probably been the most fascinating series in the postseason, that first round and second round, Spurs and Rockets. Other than that, you've gotten a snooze fest. It has just been bad. You may have two sweeps here in the conference semifinals, which would then lead you, in the conference finals, which would then lead you to an NBA final to start on June the 4th. And with that, you'll have a 9-day layoff. If all goes, Cleveland wins tonight, Golden State wraps up their series tomorrow night, and then if Cleveland puts the icing on top of the cake there Tuesday, you're going to have to wait 9 days to the start of the NBA finals. Now, that's just how it's set. You know, you can't move the dates up. You can't say, all right, it's going to be June 1st. No, it's already set. June 4th, Thursday, in Golden State would be game number one, with game two on Sunday out at the Oracle Arena. I tell you, you would hope that Atlanta somehow, someway could win this game tonight. Now, they don't have Kyle Korver. He's out for the rest of the postseason. You had Damari Carroll, who suffered that knee injury in game one. Who knows when he's going to come back, and he's a defensive force there in the end for Atlanta. Now, no Kyrie Irving for the Cavs tonight, so pretty much LeBron is going to try to take him home here to see if you could get a sweep for the Cavs. But just as bad as a postseason you could possibly have in the NBA. But if there's one silver lining, you look like you're going to get that collision between the MVP of the league and Steph Curry against four-time MVP LeBron James. And Golden State-Cleveland is the series that I'm sure a lot of people will be focused and have all the eyeballs turn, you know, go to the sets. People want to say, hey, maybe if the Hawks could get there, you have the 2-1 seeds. Please, Atlanta, there is no way, shape, or form. And they had a good season. 60 wins, nobody expected it. One seed, got to a conference final. You know, that's a great job. But we all know Atlanta's a brutal sports town, and there is no way that they would hold their water in an NBA final against the Golden State Warriors. And on the flip side of that, I don't think the Rockets are going to come back from 0-3, so you can pretty much forget that. Golden State and Cleveland is going to be the matchup, barring just an epic collapse on either the Warriors or Cavaliers' part. So, not much to discuss today as far as the NBA is concerned. I figured I'd just get it out. That's why I brought it up. So, NBA playoffs as opposed to the NHL playoffs, abysmal. You've had to rate it by a grade scale. And I'm going to be generous. It's a D. It could really be an F if it wasn't for the Clippers. But, and as far as the NHL is concerned, you'd have to say probably a B. I understand you've had these overtime games, and it probably could be an A if it goes to seven games, and then your cup final, who knows. But to this point, I would give it a B and a D for the NBA playoffs. And before we'll take a break in about 7 minutes, but before we get to that, the New York Knicks, and I said this on April 5th, for the Knicks fans out there, me being a huge Boston Celtic fan and having to suffer the disappointments of 1997 and 2007, where the Celtics were primed to draft Tim Duncan or even Greg Oden or Kevin Durant and got neither. The Knicks, who I understand, second worst record, they won those games late in the season to pretty much get their ping pong balls instead of at 25% at 19.9%. All the Knicks fans were jumping up and down saying, oh, we're going to at least get a number two pick at worst. That means it could either be, you know, Carl Anthony Towns or perhaps Jahlil Okafor. We'll get a big man in here, so on and so forth, whatever it may be. And boom, the Knicks will be off and running with Carmelo and whatever other pieces they're going to add with Omari off the books and Bargnani off the books. And the Knicks are going to be 45 wins and away we go next season. Well, when you looked at how that all unfolded, and I did watch that. Well, I recorded it. I didn't watch it live, so I just fast-forwarded to the end. And for the Knicks to get that fourth pick and to see Steve Mills hang his head, I had no sympathy. Zero. None. Sorry. I've been down that road twice, and I've learned, and never again will I even – the Celtics go 0-82, and there was no way, shape, or form will I be thinking, oh, we're going to have the number one pick. So, Knicks fans, you know what, even at four, keep the pick – you'll be better off trying to see if you could draft, maybe even get D'Angelo Russell. You guys need a guard. You know, you got Carmelo. He's in the mix. I understand you want to get the big man. You could probably get Moutier. He's a guy, but, you know, Moutier, you're hearing reports about him, you know, gaining weight, and not only that, but he's also dropping ages left and right, which is not good considering that, you know, the kid is, you know, 19 years old and had to play overseas. You know, so you kind of wonder how structured this kid is from that standpoint. But the Knicks at four, they still got themselves a hell of a pick. Now, I don't know if I would go ahead and draft a big man, you know, if you want to get a Willie Cauley Stein, or you even want to think about getting Frank Kaminsky, if you want to go that, you know, he's pretty much ranged somewhere between 9 and 13. But I wouldn't fret if I'm a Knicks fan. You know, you're going to have a lot of talent there. I understand you're not going to get the two big guys unless Okafor or something happens where they drop, and that's going to be the fascinating thing from an NBA standpoint. Minnesota getting that number one pick. Does Towns or the Okafor camp, are they going to push more to get the go to the Lakers considering they're the number two pick? And I swore, when the Lakers were in the top three, I thought they were going to get the number one pick. I figured, you know what, this is just in the cards for them to get it. And for all intents and purposes, they got themselves a number one pick, even though Minnesota has the number one pick, but they're either going to get Towns or Okafor. So they're set. But I don't think the Lakers should go that route. I think the Lakers would be wise to possibly get a guard. It'd be nice to do a little Twin Towers. Remember, they drafted Julius Randle out of Kentucky last year. So I don't think by them, and we all know in past history, the Twin Towers doesn't necessarily mean it's automatic, you know, championships lining up there on the streets of Figueroa on Staples Center. You know, Knicks tried that many years ago. With Ewing and Cartwright, then later on, you know, Samson and Olajuwon, you know, those Twin Towers doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, let's start getting those ring sizes ready for championship ring fits. So, Knicks fans, hey, just be happy you got a four, you know, unless Phil Jackson does something stupid or crazy, you would think he's going to hold on to that pick. But the Knicks got themselves a very good pick, and I think that whomever it is that they choose, if it's based on the need, you know, as long as they don't get crazy and start drafting somebody that nobody's ever heard of, and not to say that whomever they pick there is going to be a guaranteed lock success, because we could go through all the picks that a lot of people thought, oh, this guy's going to be great, he's going to, you know, work out or turn out to be, you know, an all-star or a future Hall of Famer, and we all know that in 4 or 5 years, the guy flames out and he's on the league. That happens too. But certainly remains to be seen. At the end of June, what the Knicks are going to pick, or, you know, who they're going to draft, and obviously there's going to be a lot of anticipation, a lot of speculation between now and then. So we'll certainly continue to keep our eyes on that. So we start off our show, little Knicks. You know, NHL obviously going on at the Garden. 7:45 I see here on my clock. Tampa and the Rangers, no score. Rangers, I believe, just finished having a finished a power play, which was unsuccessful, and they've been great in a power play in the series. 6-13. Unbelievable. They couldn't score a power play goal in the first two series against Pittsburgh and Washington. So we'll certainly set our sights here as we continue to go along. And all right, so we've got a couple of minutes before we hit our break. After the break, we'll definitely get into all the baseball. We'll talk about the Mets disaster in Pittsburgh over the weekend. Matt Harvey didn't have it. Mets will come home here for a week against two teams in the division who obviously have not played well. So if they're going to try to, you know, get themselves right in the ship here, this is the week to do it. So we'll get into that. We'll also get into the Yankees, who were down 3-2 in the second inning last I checked. I'll certainly look at scores, but they have had a couple of weeks that they certainly want to forget. And the last 2 days has just been target practice over at Yankee Stadium. You know, home runs just leaving left and right, 10-run innings, Prince Fielder, 2 home runs. I mean, it's just been a disaster for the Yankees. So we'll get into all that. We'll also touch on a little NFL stuff. No Deflategate. Not going to waste my time talking about that. We'll talk a little Geno Smith. A little retrospect on Indy 500 for a couple of minutes. And also the Belmont Stakes, which will be here 2 weeks from yesterday with history possibly once again in the making over at the track as the American Pharoah is looking to become the first horse since 1977. That's right. 77, 38 years and counting, or maybe not, as we'll certainly be holding our bated breaths June the 6th there over at Belmont. So we'll take a little break here. My man Brian Graves on the other side of the glass helping us out here this evening. And Tampa just scored, but we'll talk about that on the way back from break.
Sports Radio New York and AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB, or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
All right, 9:32 here on a Sunday night, May 24th, as we talk to you about the world of sports, 631-888-8811. Sports Talk, 1240 a.m. here, WGBB, out on the island. As the Rangers and the Lightning, just as we went to break, the Lightning got the first goal of the game. Valley Flippula from a Steve Stamkos pass right there in the slot. Nice shot there by Flippula as they draw first blood here in the game 5. 1-0, and it looks like it's been a defensive struggle. Rangers look like they've had their chances here in this period, as well as Tampa. Tampa now on a two. No, it was almost an odd man rush. Still able to get a shot off, believe it or not, but Lundqvist had to cover up. This is the type of game where, although this series hasn't indicated that a two-goal lead is safe, but it looks like Tampa's trying to be a little bit more defensive in this game. Rangers, like I said, they've had their opportunities, and we all know that the Lightning are not a defensive type of team. They like to play freewheeling, open ice. That's their game. But you kind of get the idea that the next goal is going to be critical to this game, whether the Rangers come back to tie or if Tampa takes the lead. We all know it depends on how late in the game it could get. I mean, obviously, if they score an empty netter with 10 seconds to go, then that's going to be it. But obviously, within reason, you would think that this next goal would be crucial, obviously, for Tampa, knowing that they would just, hopefully try to play their game. They could play a little loose, try not to sit on the lead, maybe get that third goal. Or if the Rangers were to tie the game, then who knows? They could probably play on into Memorial Day, afternoon, as sometimes these hockey games go. So 1-0 Tampa as they've taken the lead in a game 5 at the Garden. Now let's turn our attention to baseball. And the New York teams, for whatever the reason, they have certainly hit the skids. I'll start with the Mets. Mets, who had a rough week. I understand they split the four games against the Cardinals. DeGrom was just unbelievable. He gave up a first-inning hit to Matt Carpenter and then retired 23 in a row. And they went on to win 5-0. Lucas Duda did a couple home runs. And they go to Pittsburgh, starting the series off with Noah Syndergaard, who has shown some flashes. His first start in Chicago, it was okay. Not bad. But you definitely see the life in the fastball. You see the 6'6 frame, obviously the nickname Thor, all that. you know, it comes into play. But his second start, obviously much better against Milwaukee as he gets his first major league win. And then he suffers the loss the other night, 4-1 in Pittsburgh. But you figure, hey, yesterday was Happy Harvey Day. Harvey, who has been phenomenal coming into that game, 16 scoreless innings under his belt, had some rough luck as he lost in Chicago, left leading 1-0, didn't get the decision there, left leading 1-0 the other night against St. Louis, and Jury's Familia blew the game, which is, hey, listen, Familia's been phenomenal all year. It's sad that he happened to blow one of Harvey's games, but you can live with it in a sense because he's been so effective and so dominant ever since Mejia went on the suspension list for PEDs. But I guess this was the time that Harvey had a stinker. 7 runs, 4 innings, shortest stint in his career. What could you say? You know, Harvey's not Superman. He's not going to be, or Batman in this case. He's not going to do it all the time. So, rough outing for him. McCutchen takes the deep. Pedro Alvarez takes the deep. And they lose 8-2. And then today was just the icing on the cake. 9-1 disaster. John Neese, again, not pitching very well. Met offense, nowhere to be found. David Wright, who knows when he's going to come back. Now he suffered another setback here. First was his hamstring, and now it's his back. You know, the Met offense, who, when they got off to that great start, 13-3, 15-5, since then have been 9-16. And people tend to forget that even during that 11-game winning streak, you know, it's not as if they were blowing these teams out. They were pitching well. They were pitching excellent. But they were winning a lot of 3-1, 4-1, 4-2, you know, type of games. You know, it's not as if they were going, you know, they were an offensive juggernaut, to say the least. And now, with all the injuries that they suffered, and listen, no excuses. You got to play with the guys that you have on the field. But when you don't have your captain and you don't have, for arguably, at the time, your best offensive player in Darnell, who is, you know, carrying a hot bat. Duda, who has been good, who slowed down. I understand he hit the 2 home runs against St. Louis the other day, but, you know, he's being pitched to. Kadire is giving you nothing. And I'll be honest, it's easy for me to say this now, but you know what? I even said it then. The signing of Kadire was smart, but I didn't expect a lot out of him. You know, Kadire's not a guy that's going to lengthen your lineup or is going to, he's a guy who's going to wreck the game. He's not that type of guy. You know, Granderson, I understand for all the walks and whatever, you know, and he's over 250 now, which to say he's over 250, that's a, sad to say, is a moral victory. But here's the thing I got figured out about Granderson, that I don't know if he's ever going to get that power stroke. He's going to hit, you know, 20 home runs probably, but he's not going to have any semblance of what he had in his days with the Yankees. And it's easily put, he had much better lineup, much better players around him, and a much deeper lineup around him that he was able to get 43 home runs. You know, they're not going to pitch to Scherer. They're not going to pitch to A-Rod at the time when Granderson was on that team. You know, he had boppers in that lineup. Mets do not have any boppers, so you could pitch to Granderson. And even though Granderson will produce, he'll get his 20 homers. He may get 10 triples. He'll probably have, you know, maybe even 30 doubles. But those days of Granderson hitting 40 home runs and driving in 100 RBIs, that's not going to happen, not in this lineup. I mean, far from it. And now you're getting all these injuries here, and you wonder, does this mean that Terry Collins' job is going to be in jeopardy? This team got off to a great start, as good as the start as you could ever imagine. And now they've hit the wall. They have a week where they're playing the Phillies for 3 starting tomorrow, day off on Thursday, and then the Marlins coming for 3. Now, the Marlins, if you remember last time, they came here, the Mets swept them. And then Philly was here, and they played in Philly a few weeks ago down at Citizens Bank, and they beat them 2 out of 3. I'm not saying they win 5 out of 6, but they got to win these 2 series. I mean, that's all there is to it. It'd be nice to get 5 out of 6. I can't expect it. As a Mets fan, no matter how great of a start they had, you know, you'll take 2 out of 3 for both series, and you move on. That's it. Case closed. And now with the Nats, who are on fire, and Bryce Harper is just tearing up the league upside down, inside out, the Mets, who had that cushy lead about a month ago, now they're 3 games behind in the loss column, 2.5 in the standings. And I would think that if the Mets don't turn it around, that lead is going to be 5, then 6, and then Washington's going to just run and hide. So if you're the Mets, this is a very important week here. I don't have a schedule in front of me other than, you know, past this week, but they certainly have to start winning series. It'd be nice to get a long winning streak again, you know, win 4 or 5 in a row, whatever it may be, just win series. If you win series, it's 2 out of 3, that's 66% of your games. And right now, don't even focus on the division. I understand it's within sight, and you've lost the grasp of it, but at the same time, just keep winning series, keep yourself in the mix. Hopefully the Mets will be able to make a trade. I know that, you know, hey, can we get a shortstop in here? You know, Wilmer Flores, I know his bat's decent, but his glove has been awful. I get all that, but win series first. That's what you have to do here, and hopefully this will be the week to start them off. Yankees, on the other hand, I don't even know what to say. Yankees, who had that slow start, and the next thing you know, they were off and running, had a comfortable lead in the division. Next thing you know, Tampa's now taking the division, which is unbelievable when you think about it. Tampa, who got rid of their manager, key players, Will Myers, Evan Longoria is the last guy standing, and here they are atop the division. It's slight lead, nothing crazy, but amazing to think that the Yankees have lost grasp of everything that they built on after that 3-6 start. They had a brutal road trip, culminating by, you know, losing those 2 games in Washington. Then they come back, you figure, all right, they're playing Texas. They've had a brutal year. You would think that before they play Kansas City and then they go to Boston on Friday, that they could at least maybe 2 out of 3, who knows, maybe even a sweep because the Rangers have been awful. And what happens? They give up 10 runs to them on Friday, 15 yesterday, 10 in one inning. And right now they got to pretty much try to scratch and claw just to get one win before the Royals come into town. And we all know the Royals have certainly had a great start to their year, following up a American League champion year last year. So when you look at, and Tampa just scored right now on a power play, Stamkos. So we talked about that second goal on some great, that was just an unbelievable pass, too. Stamkos hammers it home right in front of the net, 2-0, right before the end of the period, 1:36 to go, and that could prove to be a crucial goal in this game. And it was on the power play. I think Stahl was in the box. I don't know for what. Just a great pass in front. I mean, there's nothing you could do there. Who was that? Kucherov. Yeah, Kucherov then finds, I believe that's Palat, and then right there at the doorstep was Stamkos to hammer it home. So 2-0 Tampa as they're late in the second period, and it'll be interesting to see if the Rangers can, as they have done in this postseason, could get a goal late to get into the, you know, to go into the locker room to kind of build some momentum for a third period that right now, when you think about it, I said the next goal is going to be crucial, and it's crucial enough because of the way it was scored. Power play late in the second period. Well, as you know, and the Rangers are trying to apply some pressure right now, as you know, this next goal is going to be pretty much the game. Tampa goes up 3-0. You would think that they're going to just go ahead and probably not cruise to victory, but they would hang on for a Game 5 win. Rangers score, make it 2-1 at some point, you know, within reason. Then we'll wait and see what happens. I believe we have a caller on the air. Let's see if we can patch him in here real quick as I got my man, Mr. Graves, on the other side. Oh, an old friend giving us a call. I don't know what he was going to talk about. I'm sure he's probably going to maybe talk a little hockey, maybe a little Indy 500, and that's Elwood from Indianapolis. What's up, my man? Long time no speak.
Oh, hey, got to talk about the 500. I thought, how many people in New York get a person live there to call in? You know?
Yeah, not many people follow that today, but.
Oh, you're kidding. Great race, great race. And the Indianapolis police kept out all Patriot players, all Patriots fans, and anyone in a Patriots jersey, and there wasn't a single flat tire the whole race.
No, look at that. Yeah, no deflate gate in for the Indy 500 today, for sure.
That's right. It was all Colts jerseys, and the tires had the correct amount of air.
That's good.
But, hey, great race. I really thought Will Power was going to win it, but old Juan pulled it out. We were had a few too many beers on this. We kept going, Juan won. It was really. But, hey, the crowd, it was packed to the hilt. So I was really glad. IndyCar's kind of been slipping here. But I think the NASCAR fad is over, and I think Americans have kind of come back to IndyCar like they used to.
And, I don't know about that.
And it's all kind of starting to level out.
So I don't know about that.
Well, what do you know? You know, you've got a baseball team.
Yeah, you're right. And I don't know anything about racing by any stretch. But NASCAR, it's a regional thing, as you know. The South is just, I mean, it's dominated by NASCAR. And I got a friend of mine I've known 30 years who's lived in New York his whole life pretty much. And he's into NASCAR. I couldn't even follow it if it was in my backyard.
But it got kind of hyper popular, kind of like hockey got in the 90s. Where, you know, it just got super popular, then died down. And I think that's what happened with NASCAR. It kind of like, it got really popular. Not that it's dying out or ever will die out, but when you have an inflated kind of hype for a sport, it doesn't last. You know, I mean, in the 90s, everybody was following hockey, even here, and we're not even a hockey town. So I think that NASCAR's kind of dying back down. People are realizing IndyCar's quality stuff, you know. I mean, this was the 99th running today. I mean, next year it's going to be the 100th, you know.
Right.
I mean, 100 years of this, so, you know, there's something there, but great race. Oh, I tell you what, it was exciting. Juan pulled it off at the last minute, beat Will by a few seconds. Fun stuff. And the race keeps getting shorter every year. So,
yeah.
I remember my grandma telling me that it used to be an all-day thing when I was a kid.
Oh, I remember,
Well, it was a little before our time, but yeah. But, yeah, good stuff. Pretty exciting race. Good people. Nothing really spectacular happened. No crashes. And I'm kind of glad old Jim Neighbors is too old to fly in from Hawaii to sing back home in Indiana. They've been getting different people. It's kind of fun. I've had old Jim doing it my whole life, so it's kind of fun to hear different people's take on it. So
right.
Now that he's like 110, you know, he doesn't
about,
come out. He's getting up there. But, yeah, great race. Hey, and also what I called about was
–
the Mets got to get their act together. They got to make a decision. Every time I wore my Mets hat out to the bar the other day, and I had Cubs fans harassing me, and I thought, man, I'm getting harassed by Cubs fans.
Oh, geez. Hey, well, they swept us.
Tell me about it. I remember now this game, and it's like they're killing me here. You know, I mean, I told people thank God for the Colts and the Pacers because I sure ain't got my Mets to fall back on.
Yeah, they've hit a rough stretch here.
They have.
And, you know, Phillies and Marlins coming up here. So, you know, do some damage. And like I said a few minutes ago, just win series. You know, it'd be nice to get 5 of 6 or maybe even sweep the whole thing, but I can't get too crazy. Just win 2 out of 3 these next 6 and you're good to go.
I just want to have a game where they win it, or I'd even settle a loss that wasn't embarrassing. You know.
Yeah, I know. Against the Cardinals last week, two bad games.
Tell me about it. There's a lot of Cardinals and Cubs fans here. I mean, not to get me wrong. I mean, there's a lot of Mets fans here too. But you know, it was just like I'm getting made fun of by Cubs fans. You know, I mean, I was going to tell them, well, you haven't won a World Series in 100 years, but I didn't want to be that obvious.
Yeah, that's
true.
Know. Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, hey, good talking to you. I just kind of wanted to chime in on the race and kind of touch on the Mets.
All right. No, that's great. No, it's good to hear your voice. Good, have
you on. I know you don't want to talk about Deflategate, but do you realize that if Tom Brady gets his little deal reduced and all this, his first game that he's going to play in is going to be with the Colts?
I know.
That is not going to be pretty because people here, there's no love. I mean, people despise them here.
Oh, of course.
And you know what? I often think the NFL manipulates this for ratings because if you wanted to come up with the best ratings boost in the world, put Andrew Luck versus Tom Brady after Deflategate first game.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, they were saying also that if the suspension gets cut to 2 games, then his first game is against the Cowboys. So, I mean, look at that. So you're either going to have Cowboys or Romo or even better yet, Andrew Luck and the Colts. So.
Yeah, I think the Colts is the no-brainer. I mean,
right.
The Cowboys and the Patriots don't have the rivalry we do.
No,
you know?
Of course.
I mean, if you would want to match the Cowboys up with the Eagles or something,
right.
You know.
No, absolutely.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'm not worried about it because if they have to play fair, Andrew Luck will just obliterate him because Andrew Luck's a beast and Tom Brady's just a joke. So, we'll see. Hey, good talking to you, guy.
All right, Elwood. Thanks. Yes, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. All right, that's my man Elwood from Indy. And real quick, I know I got to get back to the Yankees here, but he was talking about the Indy 500. Now, that was a race that pretty much, it's amazing to think, when I was a kid and you had the likes of Mario Andretti, Al Unser Jr., A.J. Foyt, Cale Yarborough, you had all these, I mean, unbelievable racers. I'm sure I'm even missing a few, Richard Petty. All these, and you kind of looked at the Indy 500 as the unofficial beginning of summer. Right, where the Masters kind of brings ushers spring in when you see the lush greens at Augusta. But when you got to that weekend, that Sunday, that Indy 500, that was a big deal. ABC, I'll never forget, 12 o'clock. And I remember the race used to go on forever. I used to go outside, play, whatever, and then come back, and it'd be like 4 o'clock, and the race is still going. And I understand NASCAR's overtaken. I disagree with Elwood when he says NASCAR's died down, and then he mentioned that the hockey in the height in its 90s. Elwood, did you forget that there was a strike in 95 where it wiped out a whole season? Well, pretty much. It didn't wipe out the whole season like it did in 04-05, but, you know, Rangers won a cup, and then it was forgotten because it didn't start until January. But the Indy 500 as a kid, that was an enormous deal. And I used to have the AFX racetrack with the, you know, Mario Andretti. I mean, all that. And it was just such a popular, and it was just one of the, it was a highlight. It was an event. You remember the Indy 500? When you think of more of the weekend, oh, Indy 500. Now it's, they still run that thing? I remember as a kid, oh my goodness. Now, listen, I never watched it, but you were always curious to see who would win because you knew the names that I just reeled off a couple minutes ago. But, and today, Juan Pablo Montoya, who won the race, actually was his first win since 2000. So talk about 15 years in between drinks. Montoya wins the Indy 500. And again, is this a shame that it doesn't have the same sizzle as it once did? Now, NASCAR certainly obliterated that. And NASCAR, with the Jeff Gordons and all the controversy, Casey Kahn and all the stuff that's happened over the years, Tony Stewart, and I couldn't follow NASCAR. I'm sorry. It's regional. I understand there's a lot of people, even the few people that I know. A good friend of mine, John Irving, I've known him forever. He's like, Jason, you won't believe it. I started watching what? NASCAR. NASCAR? Please, I couldn't watch that again. Pull the blinds. It doesn't do anything for me. It's boring. It just doesn't. But anyway, Indy 500 today, getting a little nostalgic here, talking about that. And who, you know, what better person than to have someone from Indianapolis and Elwood to chime in on that. So there's your Indy 500 update. But going back to the Yankees, you know, tonight they're losing 3-2. I think it's bottom four now, or I think it was bottom five last I checked. And with the Royals coming into town and they go to Boston, and the Red Sox, they haven't been able to get on track considering, you know, their pitching is brutal. But the Yankees hitting a little skid here, a big skid. They've lost 9 of 10. They lose tonight. I mean, no, I would have never thought the Rangers would have come in and swept the Yankees. I mean, this isn't the Rangers of, you know, Ivan Rodriguez, Juan Gonzalez, et cetera. But, listen, and then Josh Hamilton, speaking of the Rangers, he's actually going to play tomorrow against Cleveland. He's going to be called up and be in the lineup, I think, batting fifth tomorrow. So, for those wondering about Josh Hamilton and his whereabouts, you'll see him in a Major League uniform tomorrow in Cleveland. So, I tell you, Yankees, and with Pineda, got bombed in his last two starts, and CeCe got bombed yesterday, although he won the only two games on that Yankee road trip in Tampa and in Kansas City, of all places. But Yankees right now with Ellsbury on the shelf and, you know, Beltran is starting to perform a little bit better. You know, A-Rod, yep, got you there, Brian. A-Rod, of course, you know, obviously we haven't been on the air, 661, and he's contributed. I understand the average isn't there, but, you know, you're not expecting A-Rod to hit 300. I think the Yankees are going to be fine considering the division, unlike the Mets, obviously with the Nationals. The Mets got to set their sights on just playing well and just staying in that race. And I think they'll stay in the race. I mean, why not? It's too early to start thinking, you know, who's in the lead for the wild card. Way too early for that. You got to really all-star breakers when you can start thinking about that. Not now. But I would think the National League, the way it is and the way it's shaping up, you got Washington, you have St. Louis, the West, Dodgers, you would think. And then after that, you're probably looking Padres. You're looking maybe the Cubs, Mets. And those are probably going to be the three teams. You also got to throw the Giants in there, of course. San Francisco, can't forget them. Who knows who's going to make a push there? If the Pirates, who have played subpar, but you would never have thought after this weekend. But the Mets should be right there. They should be in the middle of it. And the Yankees, they should be in it for a division. There's no way that this team should not be in the mix or not look at having their sights set on a division. But it's baseball. It's a long season, 162 games. You would think the Yankees would get some reinforcements, especially whether it's starting pitching or maybe a position player. I understand Didi Gregorius hasn't worked out to this point. I get it. Chase Headley, who hasn't been great in the field, but he's going to be part of that mix there. Stephen Drew, I know you want out. Maybe get a second baseman in it. Who knows? But you know Brian Cash will be on those phones working them. I would say starting mid-June, it's still too early to start thinking, you know, getting a trade or just doing anything of that like. So you just got to stick it out. You just got to grin and bear it, and then away you go. And that's it. A couple other quick notes before we say goodnight. NFL, two quickies. Geno Smith is going to be the starter as per Chan Gailey this past week. And why Chan Gailey made that announcement is beyond me. I'm sure Todd Bowles said, hey, listen, you're the offensive guy. You want to put it out there that Geno's going to be the starter? Fine. All right. So if Geno has a god-awful preseason and the fans are going to be pining for Ryan Fitzpatrick, which that's just kind of weird to say that in a sentence. But listen, they're pushing all their poker chips in the middle of the table on Geno Smith, and, you know, God bless him. So now it's up to the kid to start working hard, and hopefully he has been working hard, and OTAs and all that's going to be coming up, minicamp, et cetera. So, you know, let's see how he's going to perform, because the defense should be probably tops in the league once Todd Bowles gets his hands on it and with all the talent that they brought in there in this offseason. And speaking of OTAs, just read a report that Adrian Peterson is not going to report the Vikings OTAs. And I understand a lot of that's not mandatory. It's certainly it's up to the player. But you know what? If you're Adrian Peterson and you've had a year to forget, I would go to OTAs. Make amends. I understand he doesn't want to be part of that team anymore. I'm sure he would love to go to the Cowboys, but that's not going to happen. You know what, kid? Suck it up. You've had a year from hell. You've had so much that you've gone through off the field with all the stuff regarding his son and not being able to play. And what you would think that, you know what, I'm Adrian Peterson. I'm the face of this team. It's Teddy Bridgewater. I understand he's going to be the quarterback of the future, but it's still, when you think of the Vikings, you think Adrian Peterson, you would think that he would set an example and say, all right, let me show up. Let me say, I'm here, I'm back, I'm ready to work, let's get this thing on and popping, and away we go. But, of course, he's not going to show up. I'm sure he's going to hold out or whatever it may be, and he would have some nerve doing that considering that he just sat the last 14 games of the year. And, you know, that's just me. So there's your NFL update. And then the Belmont, 2 weeks from yesterday, June 6th, which is going to be a lot of hype. Last year you had California Chrome, and California Chrome was up the track. Then you had the likes over the years. I'll have another who didn't even perform in the race. He was actually scratched. And Big Brown, who a lot of people thought, quite possibly he could, you know, make a Triple Crown, that didn't happen either. And then before that, you had the trifecta from 02 to 04 with War Emblem, Funny Side, and Smarty Jones, which a lot of people thought Smarty Jones was going to be the Triple Crown winner for sure, but we all know that didn't happen. So we're still waiting for that first one since Seattle Slew, 1977, and a lot of people think that American Pharoah, with his dominance in the Kentucky Derby, followed that up at the Preakness. Now, the Preakness was a joke. They only ran eight horses, but now you're going to get a full slate. I'm sure you're going to probably get anywhere between 16, 18 horses. You may even get the full 20, but we're not going to find that out for another 10 days because, again, the race isn't this coming week. A lot of people think it's every 2 weeks. No, there's a three-week gap from the Preakness to the Belmont Stakes. But you would think there's going to be over 100,000 out there. You hope it's a hot day. We all know American Pharoah from all the reports that could run in that slop. So you would think that the American Pharoah camp, not to say that they would pray for rain, but if it does rain and if it is a sloppy track, that certainly would benefit American Pharoah. I would like to see it. You want to see history sometimes. And considering that you haven't had a Triple Crown winner in 38 years, why not? You know, Pharoah has certainly had a great start here. You had a lot of these horses. Even California Chrome last year was, a lot of people thought it wasn't going to do it. And we all know that this mile and a half is no joke. And this is where the horse seems to burn out at this race, considering it has been 38 years. But you got to wonder, could this be it? I think, though, I'm going to predict now, I would like to see it happen. I think with a lot of horses wanting the gun to either upset or certainly defeat American Pharoah, I could see it being another year where you're not going to see a Triple Crown. Two reasons. The track, the length of the track, mile and a half, and two, now everybody's going to want to put their why do you think the Preakness only had eight horses? They figure, we'll rest our horses, let American Pharoah, we want to see if he's going to win that race so we could go and load all our horses up for that race just to see if we could beat him. And to top it off, it's a mile and a half. So that's why I think American Pharoah is not going to win. Now, who knows? If there's rain in the forecast and becomes sloppy, dirty, we'll see what, you know, that could be a little bit of a challenge. And I'm sure that would benefit American Pharoah. But We'll certainly keep our eyes on that in the weeks to come. Obviously, game five at the Garden, 2-0 Tampa as we get to the third period. Yankees were trailing last I checked. The Cavs were certainly taking the lead in their game, looking to go up 3-0 in the NBA best of seven Eastern Conference Finals. Of course, we have a game for tomorrow night for a probably a coronation for the Golden State Warriors, who will make their first NBA Finals since 75. So we'll keep our eyes on that. We also have all the baseball to get to. I don't know when I'll be back on the air, people. Maybe some time as I got to sort out some personal issues. But with all that being said, it's always a pleasure to be on the air to bring you the latest and greatest of the world of sports. I want to thank my man Brian Graves behind the glass for just exceptional and flawless production on his end. Of course, I want to thank our executive producer, Rob Cowell, as well. This is Sports Talk 1240 AM here on Long Island. Until next week, or until next time, everybody, enjoy your Memorial Day weekend and have a good night.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.